idea who that is. And you go, hello. That's what happened. I guess it was Friday. Calvin rang the doorbell. I go, who are you? Praise the Lord. Wow. So, by the way, Calvin gave me his book, National Crosswalk. Whoa. All right, so haven't read it yet, so you can't borrow it. But give me about 2 weeks, and I have a pile I always work on. I'm going to get to it. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, it is not about one person. It is not about one person. The only one person it is about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, you are important. There's greatness in you that you need to take, tell, share, shine. So, you know, sometimes I'm like, don't look at me. It's about all of us. It's all about all of us. I'm not sure where I'm going to go today. I have some notes, but praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, last week I shared a message. By the way, I have my sneakers on because we are all in a race and we have grace. I'm going to wear these. These are so comfortable. I'm telling you what, this is such a good excuse to wear really comfy things here. But I shared a part of last week about grace that empowers you not to quit. And how many had a week where you let grace empower you not to quit? Raise your hand. Good, good. Because there's no quitters. My dad used to say that. There's no quitters here. He grab you. All right. So that's good. That's good. Well, how about let's pray and I'm gonna figure out where we're going here today. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Dad, I just come to you. I come to you and I just want to thank you again for that you're my dad and that you have brought me into your family, Dad. Thanks. And then you've just given me all of your glory and your wisdom and you're empowered me. And I just want to say thank you again. And I want to say thank you so much for this word, the word of God, the Bible that you have given me, given us, that continues to be a light in our life, in our race, in our journey. I want to say thank you. And today I declare that eyes are open, ears are open, hearts have already been prepared through prayer and they're stirred and they're wide open. And today we have and we will and we'll take hold of your word and we'll watch it in action. And not only in our life, but we say that we will be doers of the word and we will affect. We are going to infect people with this. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I've been teaching on the subject of grace, and grace is just big. I was sitting here with Martha in the front row here, and she's like, how much longer are you going to go? I said, I don't know. I keep finding more scriptures that have to do with God's grace. So I know for sure I've got two more messages. Now we could go to Christmas because, man, these sneakers are so good. Why would I wear anything else here? But serious notes. So we're calling this grace for the race. Grace for the race. Grace for life. All right. And we found out, or maybe I'll just tell you right now, you're here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. You're on this planet for a purpose. And God has placed you in this planet. He's placed you in a race. And he's got things for you to do. I love looking at you and going, man, there is greatness in you to do great things. All right. So our first week, we talked about scandalous grace. I just had so much fun with that, scandalous grace. And we actually talked about four scandalous women that are in the genealogy of Jesus. So it makes my family tree look really good. How, you know, you some of you go, you don't know. Yeah, you should see where Jesus is. But the thing that made it so scandalous, this grace, is that someone died for you. Someone paid a price for you, and his name is Jesus. And he forgave you everything. And he wiped your slate just clean. And I want to tell you, that's scandalous. That's just crazy. Scandalous, right? So that was week one. If you aren't here, sign up for the CDs or go online. You can listen to them. Second week, we talked about we're in a race and God actually designed a place called the throne room of grace that you can go to and get help. And it's not, you know, you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to go to far and wide. It's a place, and you simply say, Father God, I need your help in this throne. I just need help from you. And that's how you get there. It's pretty simple. All right. Last week, we talked about don't quit, and that really had to do that, you know, like you all raised your hand. I could have quit last week on such and such, but I'm not supposed to quit. God will give me grace that I can keep running this race, and I'm going to run it with endurance. And the endurance is through the power of the Lord, okay? So you don't have to quit. Though, how many of you know, raise your hand if you know people that have quit the race? Quit the race. And they knew and they had experiences and the power of God came on their life and they were active in their life. And I've got people, they've quit. All right. We need to tell them. You need to tell them. God's got grace. You can pick up and keep going. Today, I'm going to call this grace that works through the struggles to change. Okay, grace that will help you work through the struggles so you can change. All righty, now, nobody likes change. Do you like change? I have to sit there and grit my teeth and go, I like change, I like change, I like change, I like change. But really, I don't like change. Anybody like change? No, nobody really likes change. And you know, so much that, let me prove it. January 2015. I'm like, man, I got to change the way I eat. I'm going to stop eating this and I'm going to start eating healthy. January, we said, I'm going to change. I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week so these parts of my bodies don't start complaining. Okay. January, we said, we're going to start family devotions. Okay. We talk about that, right? But the only trouble about all of that is it takes effort. Everybody say effort. It takes effort to change. I mean, you can write your all the things you want to change in. You can write them down. You can write them until you're blue in the face. But it takes effort. Yep, it takes effort. And the thing about effort is a lot of times it's not easy. It is not easy, is it? Because it's just not easy, okay? So we find out we really don't like change. Even though I say, I like change. I'm going to change. I like change. I'm going to change. We say that, right? But I don't really like change. I don't really like change. You know, I had a favorite pair of blue jeans back in the 70s. Yeah, I'm that old. And I just wore them to pieces because I didn't want to change. I finally put patches on them, though patches were bad in back then. I'd sew them up and put patches on because I just didn't want to change. I didn't want to change. I didn't want to change wearing those jeans, except for I got a little larger, so they didn't fit. All right. That's the problem with that. So we really don't like change, but this is what concerns me as a pastor. As pastor, this is what concerns me, is that there are people who believe, there's a bunch of people, not this church, this church down there, right? Okay. There's the people that believe, I can just stay the way I am. I can stay this way, you know, because grace saved me. So I can stay the way I am. Some people believe that. You know, I can keep doing, come on, you know when you're doing a bad thing, right? I can keep doing the bad things. I can keep doing, because of grace that saved me, I can keep doing the things that are contrary to what the Word of God says. Contrary to what God says. I can keep doing that because it's okay. There's grace. There's grace. Come on, it's grace that saved me. Yeah, it sure did. But listen, grace is not here for you to stay the way you are. Grace is not here for you to stay the way you are. Go shove your spouse in the side here. This is where you do it. All right? Grace is here so you can start living the way God wants you to. That is what grace is for. Grace is for you to start living the way God wants you to. All right? Everybody say change. I love change. Man, change, 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 change. Okay. So everyone here, we said change. We don't really like change. And really, change is a struggle. It is a struggle. It's a struggle, all right? And and if you've been, if you're a day older and a little smarter, you've already found that out. It is a struggle to change. It's a work, right? Otherwise, bam, bam. I wish it was bam. It's not. So change is a struggle. And what made me think of this is I was on Instagram. And somebody posted of a picture of somebody, a married couple. They'd been married. What do you call their 50th? Is that the golden? The golden anniversary. And they were like, hashtag, aren't they cute? Hashtag, you know, all that stuff. And then someone wrote, hashtag, it was a struggle to get there. Guys, it was a struggle to make your golden anniversary. True? Yeah, go interview them. They'll tell you. All right. And then later on that week, one of my dear friends, she's a speech pathologist and no audiologist. I don't know. She works with people in speech, whatever that thing is. Okay. And she has two little boys, and her oldest one just went to kindergarten. So there's a picture of him with his backpack on the first day of school, big smiles, and someone wrote hashtag yay mom or isn't he cute? And then the second picture is his younger brother, who's 3. He's just crying. I don't want my brother to go. And the mom is just trying to get this kid, this picture of this child, in control, you know. And so somebody, you know, I wanted to write, hashtag, struggle raising kids. Yeah. Hashtag, this is a struggle. It's real. Anybody agree with me? It is really a struggle raising kids. It's a struggle when I say, I want to be a better mom. There's a struggle to do that. When you say, I want to be a better dad, it's a struggle to do that. At least the books that I read, it was a struggle. Okay, so it's a struggle. And you know, the thing about the struggle is they're real. It's real. So today I want to talk about real struggles that we have, that we go through, and that we're going to change. We're going to change. Okay. Now, this is really interesting, though. Usually at the end of every service, I'm trying to remember to do this, I'll say, is there anybody here? And the Holy Spirit's been dealing with your heart, and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, and you just know, and you're feeling this pull, and you've heard the word, and today's the day of salvation, and you'd like to receive Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Because God will take you just as you are. Amen. Yes! Is there anyone? God will take everybody. Amen. He does. Okay, he does. All right. Now, but the truth of the matter is when you meet Jesus and you accept him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, there is now a demand on your life from that moment forth to get some changes. Right? Yeah. But did he take you just as you are? Boy, he sure did. But after that, there's this push, demand on your life. There's a demand on your life to start to change. Yes. Thank you. All right. Now, see this Bible? This Bible is God's word, and it will put a demand on your life to start to change. That's what it's for. Okay? And you should smile. Yes, change is good. Change is good. I love change. I love change. Okay? But so many people go, well, I don't want to change. I'm saved. No, listen, if you have any kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you know what he did for you, and you have any kind of love for this, you will say, I don't want to stay like this anymore. I want to change. If you have a relationship and you know you want to change, how many people want to change? Tell your spouse, you better change, okay? All right, because listen, I don't want to stay the same way. And then you bump into me 10 years from now and you go, man, she's just the same. That you're just the same. I don't want that. I don't want you saying that about me. I hope you run into me and you go, man, she is really different. I don't know what happened to her. Whoa, she's sweeter and sweeter. Okay, as the days go by, my, okay, all right, okay. So I want to talk about grace, how grace can empower you to change. How grace can empower you to change, all right? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. It's our one we've been reading every week. Every week we've read this, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. By the way, you read this, you make the devil so mad. You make this into your life, you just tick him off. Because this is the secret to change. All right. So you should have your Bible when you come to church, and let's just tick them off. Come on. I know some of you have it on your apps on your phone and stuff, but I love this. I love that sound. Okay, here we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. All right. So, we have read that scripture every week. That should be plastered on your mirror. That's the scripture, actually the scripture for the month. Alrighty? So, but when I read that, that scripture is speaking about change. Strip off. That sounds like change. Every weight. Right? Doesn't that sound like change? Do you have the same version going on here? Alright? Okay, so there's some stuff that you have to get rid of. It's called sin. Guess what? That sounds like change. Alrighty? It sounds like change. But here's the deal. Here at YCF, our vision is to gather, to grow, and to go. And we gather everybody. We welcome everybody. Say everybody. Everybody's welcome here. Matter of fact, we want you to stay. We want you to love this place. Yeah, I love you. I love you. Okay, we want you to love this place. We want you to love the people. Everybody. You want everybody, right? Okay, now, the interesting thing is everybody that when you come to this place, everybody, now I'm going to change the word. I've been saying we've been a race, but I'm changing words. We're in a journey today, okay? We're in a journey. Everybody that comes to this place, you're in a journey. You're in a journey. You're in a journey. Everybody that comes to this place is in a journey. And the thing is, we're in different places. You're in a different place than her. Everybody is in a journey, but everybody is in a different place. Everybody's in a different place, okay? I need two volunteers. Okay, Angie and Veronica. They love me. Okay. All right. If you sit up close, you know I'm going to get you. All right. Okay, start over here. Angie and Veronica, they are coming to YCF. They're in the journey. They're in the journey, okay? And Angie over here, she's just kind of new. Somehow, somebody at the dog jumper thingy invited you. You can ask Angie about dog doc jumping. Is I say it right? I got a max. Doc dog? Yeah. Doc dog jumping. Okay. They invited Angie to church. She's new. So Angie's new in her journey, and she's right about here. because she's new. Okay, you get to look at everybody. All right. And Veronica, man, you're an oldie but goodie. Veronica's been in this journey for a long time. So come on with me, Veronica. Veronica has been in this journey, and her journey she's been in is different. Okay, you get to stop over here. Her journey is different than Angie's. All right. Now, so Angie's kind of new at her journey. All right. And Veronica's been at this journey, and she's actually made some progress up to here. Yeah. Look at that. Da, 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 da. Okay. Now, what happens? Wait. How many of us are in a journey? All of us, you are in your journey in life, in the race, in with God, right? So what happens when I get to Angie? I'm like, girl, you're like really slow. Is that as far as you've gotten? Okay. Veronica saying this. Girl, you're really slow. Is that as far as you've gotten? Okay. Man, what's with you? And, what do we do with that? Oh, what do we do? No. Okay. Listen, we're really fast at the race. We're really fast at the race. And you are like at snail's pace. And you know what? There's a church down the street for snails in the race. You need to leave. Because you are not where I am. Yeah, that's the other church down the road. I'm like, you guys already know what to say. Okay, do we ask them to leave? Does God say, listen, you have disappointed me. You have not kept the pace like Veronica. So you're disqualified. Okay. You're not living the way I think you should. You need to get out of here. Really? We never do that. We never look at you and say, man, you're not living right. You still do, okay? And you've been, how long you been with the Lord? You can go to Snail Church. All right, you can sit down. Thank you. All right. All righty. So, and the reason why we don't do that is because we are all in a journey and we are all changing at a different pace. Now, I just want to slap you silly and say, hurry up. Believe me, there are times I'm going, are you kidding me? You're doing what again? But I have to go, wait a minute. Better yet, get the mirror up and go, hey, did you look at your life? All right. So we're all on a journey. We're all at a different place. Okay. In change. Everybody say change. All righty. Now, I believe if you came to church today, if you're here today and you actually got out of bed, didn't sleep, hit the snooze, go to the lake, do whatever. If you came here, it's because you want change, right? It's because you want to hear how to change. You want, better yet, you want somebody to tell you, right? No, we just turn off our hearing aids and we don't listen to you, Pastor D, okay? We sleep, all right? No. How about you want someone to tell you how to be a better dad? You want someone to tell you how to live life better as a mom? All right? Because I really don't know how. So that's why I come to church. All right? So, and the reason you come here because you want to be encouraged through the word. All right? And you want a helping hand too. So would you help me in life? Help together with in life. So that's why. All righty. Turn over to, 2 Peter. Let's do 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter's at the end of the book. If you got to Hebrews, James, you're really close. Okay, 2 Peter, chapter 3. Here we go. Verse 18. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace. Everybody say grow. All right, let's do it again. But grow in grace And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be the glory, both now and forever, and amen. All right. So, grow in grace. Everybody say, grow in grace. Grow in grace. All right. So, what do you have to grow in? Grace. You are supposed to grow in grace. I'm reading this. But you grow in grace. All right. So, you're supposed to grow in grace. All right. So, but wait a minute. I met the Lord Jesus 30 some years ago. I think it's almost 40 years ago. But grace, I'm just going to stay like that. Like that for 30, 40 years. You're just going to stay like that because it was grace that saved you, right? It was grace that saved you. And but do you want to stay? How many want to stay? Oh, God, dear Lord, no. I don't want to stay. All righty. So it says, you grow in grace of and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You grow in grace. So that means the more I know of who God is. Oh, he's my Father. He never leave me or forsake me. He's the strength of my life. The more I know who he is and what he's done in my life, I'm more than a conqueror. I stomp on devils and scorpions, okay? The more I know, so I'm reading it again, but grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more I know, man, that means I'm not going to be the same person. Say, I am not the same person. I am not the same person. That should just tickle you when someone comes up that you haven't seen in a decade and says, man, whoa, woman, you're different. You should go, yeah, by grace of God, all right? So we should be different. Now, how many of you remember when you first got saved? I remember this incredible joy. Joy came in my life. Actually, I was doing my internship at a school, and my teacher had asked me to decorate the bulletin board. So I pushed all the tables up there, and I'm standing up there, and I thought the principal and the teacher were down the hall talking. I didn't know they came in, and I'm, oh, glory, hallelujah. I'm dancing on top of tabletops and setting up these bulletins. Woo-woo, you know, and they walk in, they go, hello. I thought, oh, my gosh. But I didn't really care. There was so much joy in my life. Because I think I fought loneliness and depression. That when that happened, I was like, woohoo! All right? So, and how many people would say they knew there was a difference? I've had talked to people and they said, after I received the Lord Jesus Christ, I slept through the night for the first time. I was like, really? Yeah, they knew there was change in their life, all right? Now, how many of you know that probably one of the biggest frustration for people that receive Jesus, that say they're a follower of Jesus, one of the biggest frustrations is in our life, after we meet the Lord Jesus, one of our biggest frustrations is, I still have some things hanging on my back that I struggle with. All right? How many have some things? Yes, you met Jesus Christ and make me cry when I think of who Jesus is, what he did in my life. Wonderful. But, you know, 10 years go by and I still, oh my God, that thing's still on my back. 30 years go by. Oh my gosh. And your wife will tell you that thing's still on your back. All right. That's frustrating. Unless, okay. But people get frustrated because they think, because they remember that first 3 months that I had when I met the Lord Jesus, I'm dancing on tabletops in the school, not in some other places. You guys are so silly. All right. So, but you know, the amazing thing is, I'm gonna put this down. The amazing thing is, we then pray, and we go, God, take this away. And God's looking down from heaven. He goes, I already did. 2,000 years ago, I nailed it to the cross. Well, but I'm so frustrated, okay? Now, this is what I found out. So I meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to get all the way down there where Veronica is. I want to be down here. I want my life to change down here, but I'm over here. Okay. And from here to over here, this middle part, there's sort of like a tension. All right. There's a tension going on in my life. And the tension is I'm changing. I'm struggling with change. All right. All right. And sometimes we say the dumbest things to people. What? You're still doing that? That really didn't help them. Okay. Cause they know they're somewhere and they're struggling with this change. Okay. Anybody ever struggle with change? I am still struggling with change. All right. So, another scripture, let me give you 2 Timothy 2:1. We did that the week 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 2:1. I'm just going to read it. They'll pop it up there. So my son, this is Paul, the apostle Paul. He's writing it to Timothy. Timothy has just inherited the biggest and most popular church in the whole area. Actually, the whole world at that time. This pastor. And he's kind of having some meltdowns. There's a lot of pressure on him. And Paul, the apostle Paul writes, so you, my son in the Lord, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, that just sounds like a real good doozy. What does that mean? Okay. Be strong means to be empowered. So Paul is saying, Timothy, be empowered with the grace that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. Be empowered. All right. So, how many of you have been in the church for a couple of decades? How many of you know the traditional definition for grace? The traditional that I learned for like 30 years, because I didn't do any studying. Let's go on that subject, you know. Everybody said grace is the favor of God, right? Grace is the favor of God. 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 All right. That's true. Okay, everybody say it's true. But the problem is that grace that is the favor is free. That part's free. The favor of God's free. But it doesn't tell you something. All right? So when you say grace is the favor of God, it doesn't tell you what grace does. It just says it's free. But then there's something that grace is going to do in your life. So I'm going to give you my definition. I kind of put a bunch of things together. I hope you write this down if you're taking notes. All right. Grace. God's ability working in mankind. And you should probably write working in me. God's ability. Grace. God's ability. Grace. God's ability working in me. All right. Making you, me, able to do what I cannot do in my own ability. Grace, God's ability, God empowering me to do the things I cannot do. Man, you know that'll change the way you live your life. It'll change what you say out of your mouth. When you know that it's God's ability working inside of you to do the things I cannot do. All right? So that grace is God now helping you through the struggles to overcome so you can change. Grace is God empowering you, God's ability to help you through the struggles so you can change. All right. So now, how many people have heard somebody, because you're not one of those people, say, I have an anger issue. Anybody ever hear somebody say, I have an anger issue? Okay, because that's not you, right? All right. So when they say that, what they're saying is, I'm struggling with anger. I'm struggling with anger. Now, I'm not going to say anger's a sin. All right, because it's Ephesians 4:26. It says, be angry and sin not. So you can be angry. You can be angry. Your wife will tell you if you're sinning. Okay, you can be angry, but you don't have to sin. So let's just say you're struggling with anger. You're angry all the time. All right, you're angry all the time. And maybe it's because your great grandpappy was angry all the time. Your grandpappy, your dad, they're angry all the time. That's just how you grew up. Like, that was normal. Normal in my house is people threw plates at each other's and F-bombs. Okay? Uh-huh, that's where I grew up. So, but getting back to anger, sorry about that. So you grew up and that's just like normal. Normal in your house. And then that's how you are. You're angry all the time at your kids. You're angry all the time at the dog and the cat. You're just angry at the garage door opener. It's so slow. Okay, you're angry. All right, now, then you've got this lovely wife or husband that says, honey, you know, it's not good. It's not good that you're like this all the time. It's not good for the kids. It's not good for me. It's not good for you. And you know what? Your spouse is right. It's not good to be angry all the time, right? It is not good. You are not a piece of cake to live with then, right? So it's not good. But here is grace. Here is grace. You simply say, God, I don't want to be like this anymore. I can't do this. I need your help. That's where grace, God empowers you, gives you the ability to do what you can't. And grace opens up the door when you say, God, I don't want to be like this anymore. I need your help. Everybody say grace. All right. So when you say, God, I don't want to be like this. It's you, grace moves in. Grace moves in. Grace moves in because you say, God, I don't want to, and I need your help. That's when grace comes in. But listen, and we all say this, you know, God's a gentleman, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. It doesn't come in and push you aside and make you do things. You notice the first part? You had to say, God, I don't want this anymore. I don't like that I walk in a room and my kids all exit stage left because they don't know how I'm going to act. All right, I don't want that, God. I need your help. Okay, that's grace. It moves in. It empowers you. Everybody say, grace empowers you. Now, how many remember again when you first accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? You were just happy and smiling for a while. And then after a while, that anger came back. The backpack, it came back. After a while, maybe months, it came back. Some of you, maybe weeks, it came back. All right. How come? Well, first off, it happens to everybody. It happens to everybody because, you know, for the beginning, you're just flying high. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, Jesus is so wonderful. And then, you know, a couple of weeks or months go by and you're just angry again. Well, that's because That's because you've been doing that for 20 or 30 years, right? You've been acting that way, reacting that way, blowing up that way. But change takes time. Change takes time. Everybody say, change takes time. It does. It takes time. Now, there are a few people, I just love it when they come up to the altar and they ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of their Savior and they get delivered just like that of cigarettes. And you didn't. Okay? And you go, well, listen, God, I want you to change me. And until you do, I'm staying the way I am. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's not too cool, is it? No. All right. So listen, change is something, you have to change some things. Change is about changing some things. Change is about you changing some things. Change is about you changing some things. Me changing some things, right? All right. Listen, again, nobody likes change. That's why when you go to the gym in March, wow, where did everybody go? Wow, place is empty. Man, I can get on a machine right away. Okay? Why? Why? Nobody likes change. Say that with a smile. Nobody likes change. We don't. Okay. And listen, without God's grace, it really is, I'm going to say the extreme, it's impossible to change. Okay? Without God empowering you, I have found out in my life, the doozies that I've struggled with, it's impossible to change. Without God's grace, It's impossible to change. So let me give you an example here. I have two brothers. They're 4 years apart. Johnny was probably about a junior in high school. And he and Gary and Donnie and Ronnie, they were into lifting weights down our basement. That and wrestling. And they broke every piece of furniture in my mom's basement. You get five boys wrestling. Boom, bam, bam. You know, it's just crazy. So they were into weightlifting, and they were bulking up. They looked really good. Their junior, senior year, man, my brother looked good, okay? And his friends, they look really good. And then along comes my little brother, Patrick, and his 4 years difference, and he's probably going into junior high. How old are you in junior high going in? 11, 12? Anybody? 11, 12, okay. And we used to call Patrick the string bean. He's just a string bean. Just like arms like this big, legs like this big. You could count. He'd suck in and you'd just find the ribs. He didn't have to suck in. There's just ribs. He was just a string bean. And Patrick's going into junior high and he asked Johnny, can you teach me how to lift weights? I want to be like you. All right. So they say, well, you do the curls and then you do whatever you do. I don't know anything about weights. You can tell. Okay. So Patrick goes down the basement every day for a whole week, and you hear bang, bang, clank, clank, shh, all right? You know, he's lifting weights. And then every day for a whole week, he goes up to the mirror and he goes, string bean. All right, the next day he's down there, whatever you do with weights, okay? Joe, what do you do? I don't know. Okay, and he goes to the mirror again and he goes, string bean. All right, that's like Christians. We hear a message like this, oh, I want to change. I can change. And we go and we do it one day and we get frustrated because we haven't seen any change. We get frustrated. We go for a whole week, you know, asking God for his grace, and we have grace and we look in the mirror and we get frustrated because we don't see some change. All right. Same deal, guys. Same deal. So change takes time. Everybody say change takes time. So the interesting thing about Patrick is he probably stuck to it for about 3 months. And one day, pop, 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 the little string beans had pops up here. It was really hysterical. He forgot to work on the rest of the body, you know. But man, Patrick would just walk around like this. He was so cute. He's so cute. All right. Eventually. And you know why? Because change takes time. Change takes time. So I'm going to give you some principles. Now, if you apply them in your life, not once a month, not once a week, all right? Because it's not going to work. You're not going to have change. It's not going to work. If I told you all the things I tried once and quit, I had a gymnasium down in my gym, you know, my basement here. I just finally got rid of it because I wasn't doing it. All right. We're down to a treadmill. That's about it. Oh, no, no. Jesse got a bike. That's right. All right. But listen, if I just do it once, it's not working. If you just do it once a month, maybe even every day for a month, it might not work quite that fast. That's okay. Change takes time. Okay. And by the way, you got yourself into this for a long time. You're right. You have. All righty. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. How do you get change in your life? How do you get change in your life? Pastor D, I've been telling you, you've been telling me the struggles, and I want to change. I can't do this anymore. How do I get change in my life? Number one, you have to honor the Word of God. Honor the Word of God. Value this above everything else. Listen, I have a whole bunch of else's in my life that I value sometimes more. I go to all the time. Okay? But you need to honor this. Value it above everything else. Alrighty? So let me ask you a question. You hear me preaching. You see me go over scripture. Okay? And you're looking at it and you go, well, do you just think, oh, that's such a nice suggestion? Do you think when the scripture goes up that God's saying, that's just a little nice suggestion for you? Or the scripture goes up, the scripture, you're looking at your Bible and you go, wow, God's telling me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to apply it to my life because it's the word. Okay, which one is it? Okay, all right. We need to apply it. We need to value it, all right? Turn over to Psalms 138. Let me tell you how God honors his word. Not just me. Let me tell you what God, or how God honors his word. Psalm 138, verse 2, all the way down at the bottom. What do they call that? B. You know, when you read the halfway down, B. Always crack up at that. Psalm 138. This is how God honors his word. All right? He says, for you have magnified your word above, excuse me, for you have magnified your word above your name. Okay, listen. God's name is like number one in the planet, right? Where does it say, at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow and confess, all right? All right, so his name is pretty big, right? But listen, he's saying over here, oh, I'm going to take my word and I'm going to put it above the name of Jesus, above. Okay, I think he values this like big time. I think God values this word really big. I think he says it's above the name, above his name. I think he honors this. So how about you? All right, how about you? All right, now, number two, here we go. Because like, oh, look at the clock, here we go. How do you get change in your life? Number two, you have to be a doer of the word. You have to be a doer of the word. You can come to church every week and sit here and hear and hear and hear and hear. But if you don't apply what you hear, you're just sitting. All right? You're not a doer. If you just keep hearing, you're not a doer. There's a big difference. James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Okay, now let me read that out of the Amplified. It kicks butt. Put your seatbelt on. You're going to go flying. Amplified. James 1:22, but be doers of the word, obey the message, not merely listening to it, betraying yourself into deception by reason contrary to the truth. Man, kick your butt. All right. Guys, it is really easy to get in the habit of just coming to church. It is really easy to get in the habit in reading the word. I read the word. I get up every morning. I read the word. Okay? I press my app and read it for 30 seconds. No, you guys don't do that. You study the word. Okay? It's real easy to get like that. And not, everybody say not, apply it. Okay? Big difference. Okay? Listen, going to church is good. Please keep coming. I'm believing in greatness in you guys. It's good. Reading your Bible. Please keep doing it, okay? But you have to apply it. You have to apply it. So how do you get change in your life? You have to apply the word of God. Okay, number three, how do you get change in your life? You have to renew your mind. 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 Your mind's crazy. You are. Crazy mind. Okay, Romans 8:7 says your mind is in enmity towards God. Now, I had to look that word up too. Enmity. Okay. E-N-M-I-T-Y means hate. Your mind actually hates God? Oh no, Pastor D, I love God. I love God. I love God. No. Your mind, Romans 8:7, your mind is in enmity against God. Your mind hates God. What? Okay, just so you know, it's not that bad. Your unrenewed mind. The Bible also uses the word carnal. Carnal, okay? So, the day I accepted Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, a miracle took place. I cried. A miracle took place. put a whole new spirit inside of me, made me a brand new creature, wiped out my past. I'm a new being, a new creature. Okay? Right? Right? Okay. But I still live in the same body. Right? And I still have the same mind. Right? Okay. So that's why you have to renew it. Because, okay, this is the control center, NASA. Okay? This is the control center. And unless you change it, you renew it with the word of God. Listen, I had some crazy ideas. Crazy. All right. And I started reading the word of God. Really? Nah. Are you kidding? Really? Wow. Okay. I would read the word and I'd get renewed. Okay. All right. So you have to renew. We have to renew your mind. And by the way, your carnal, crazy mind doesn't want to do the word of God. So I make it. All right. I make it. And now I just go, it's the Lord. It's the word. I love it. All right. But it took a process. It took a long time. All right. Your mind, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let's see. When you start taking this, being a doer, reading it, being a doer, renewing your mind, there's going to be a transformation. There's going to be a change. There's going to be a change. But just like my little string bean Patrick, it took time. It will take time. It takes time, all right? So be a doer. Get your mind renewed, all righty? Let's see. Number four. How do you get change in your life, Pastor D? You ask God for help. Help. Help, okay? Help is the way grace gets unleashed into your life. When you go, God, I can't. God, I don't want to stay like this. God, I need help. He then empowers you to make some changes. It's so much easier when he does it. Oh my gosh. It's so much easier when he does it. All right. So change. I love change. How about you say, God, I need help with my kids. God, I need help being a better mom. Yes. God, I am really bad at money. My finances are a mess. I need help. God, would you help me? And grace comes in to empower you to do the things you cannot do. Grace. Everybody say grace. All right. Number five, last one. How do you get change in your life? You rest in the process. Rest. You know that, the iced tea commercial? Okay, rest. You rest. All right. You rest. You rest. Turn over to Mark 4. Let me give you a story about resting. Mark chapter 4. Praise God. How do you get changed, guys? Woo! Great. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. I have the red letter edition. Mine is in red. Who's talking? Jesus. All right. Red. Here we go. It's mine at the top has a nice little heading. The parable of the growing seed. And he said, that must be Jesus, right? He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should go sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First a blade, then a head. After that, the full grain in the head. And when the grain is ripened, he immediately puts the sickle to it of the harvest. Okay. All right. So what's this talking about? You take the word of God. You honor it. You read it. You renew your mind. You apply it. All right. That's your part. And then you rest. Okay. You rest. You don't have to figure out how God does it. You just do your part, such as you buy tomato plants. I am surrounded by neighbors who have tons of tomatoes. It's just most wonderful. But can you imagine? They get their tomato plants, put them in the ground, and then they go to bed at night. The next day they get up and they go, oh, let me go dig up the tomato plant, see what's happening down there. Okay? And they do that every single day. They dig up the plant, look at it, stick it back in the ground. Go to bed, get up the next day, dig up the plant, stick it back in the ground. Okay? What's going to happen? You're going to kill that plant. All right? Because, listen, you buy that plant, stick it in the ground, and you go to bed at night and you rest. You rest in the process that God's working. God's faithful. He loves you. You just rest in it. All right? No matter how long it takes. No matter how long it takes. No matter how long it takes. You do what you need to do. All right? You get the seed, put it in the ground, water it, and then you let God take care of it. You rest. All righty? So, how many people like tomatoes? Yeah. All righty. Now, the funny thing about this, how many of you are grandparents? And maybe you're a grandparent and you don't get to see your grandbabies for what? Months. Maybe 2 months or something like that. So you can't answer the question because I know that. Okay. Stop it. Okay. So you can't see haven't seen your grandbabies in 2 months. You go see them and what's the first thing you say? Look how big you've gotten. My gosh, you've gotten so big. And the parents gone, no, they don't. Are you kidding me? Why? Because I'm the parent that sees them every day. I don't see the change. I don't see the change. Guys, honor our God with his word. Value it above all else. Right? Then what do? Number two. No, that was number five. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Number three. Renew your mind. Number four. Ask God to help. Number five, you rest. Rest in the process. That's how you get through the struggles to have change. All right? So, how many of you this helped you? Amen, sister. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, how many of you, I want you to close your eyes real quick here and we're going to get you out of here. Nah, we're going to do another 3 hours. Woo! Baby! Get that youth worship ma'am up here again. No fun. All right. How many of you right now, you could say, Lord, I can take one of those steps. Matter of fact, I am going to take one of those steps and that I've been struggling with. I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling with being angry. Okay. And I'm going to take one of those steps and I'm going to start putting it in my life because I want to change. Amen. That's your homework. I love giving out homework. Okay. You get a star next week if you bring out your paper. All right. All right. Guys, there's areas in my life that I've struggled with, that I've applied this to my life, and I've had change. Some of them didn't take so long. Some of them took real long. And some of them, I just quit doing, and I'm going to do it again, all right? So listen, God always sees greatness in you. He sees the beginning and the end, and he's like, "Ah!" Okay, but listen, there's no doubt about it. You need to change. Ask your spouse. You need to change, all right? The thing is, do you want to change? And you know, change, without change, many times you just hit the wall. Many change, people aren't listening to you. Many times without change, you feel distant from God. God's never distant from you, but your brain goes crazy again, okay? So change is good. And God gives you ways to get to where you need to go. So everybody, let's stand up here. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is my favorite confession. Hallelujah. You should all know it by now. Father God, I thank you. I am the head and not the tail. Who wants to be back here? Are you kidding me? You know where a doggy's tail is back there? Not good. All right, so let's do that again. You have a visual. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. Everything I set my hand to, I prosper in. I am a light in a dark place. And I ask you to help me through your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm wearing sneakers next week, so we're doing great. You can wear sneakers here. Praise God. I love you.